All right, Daniel chapter 3, you know, it's a long chapter. You know this is the story of the Hebrew children and the fiery furnace. You know that Nebuchadnezzar had this furnace set up. It says he set it up about 8 times in the passage. And when they heard the sound of the music, they were supposed to kneel and worship. And to not kneel and stop your life and worship when Nebuchadnezzar said so was a capital offense. Well, the Hebrew children had a little problem with that because this was an image made to Baal. And so they were not interested in bowing to it, and so they didn't. And of course, that made the king really mad. Go down to verse 13. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, actually, he said the wrong thing there, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, pray that you might give clarity here this morning. And Lord, we're reminded of something that we ought to always keep before our face and before our eyes. There are several things that come out of it. We sure are glad to have a God that's worth serving instead of the God that these folks were serving. And so we pray along these lines and ask that you might just give us, again, vision for lost people. If there's somebody here that's never been saved, I pray you deal with their hearts about being saved. But we just pray that we might exalt in the God that we serve and our high calling, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, this narrative is one of the more miraculous and overweening narratives of the Bible. It ranks up there with the crossing of the Red Sea and all those things, but here, literally, three men were thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Who knows how hot it was? I don't know if it would have melted iron or not, but whatever else is the case, it would have killed anybody else. But out of all this, the king, of course, is converted, at least for a short time. Things in the kingdom changed, at least for a short time. And this sort of thing should give a lost man pause. And it ought to be a boost for a Christian. You have a Savior. He is here called the Son of God. Notice the capital S and Son, Son of God, who goes through the fiery furnace with you. Now, we'll never have to be cast into hell. Amen. Praise the Lord for that if you're a Christian. But the fact of the matter is that whatever trials and troubles, whatever furnace is kindled for you. The Bible testifies clearly that Jesus Christ is there with you in it. And praise the Lord for that. We're glad for that. They were cast into this burning, fiery furnace. And because of the presence of the Son of God, because of the grace present there, they didn't burn. Now again, that ought to be a boost for a Christian. That ought to build your faith. I don't believe this was an allegory. I don't believe for a moment this was some sort of a metaphoric storyline. I believe this is history. I think it happened the way the Lord said it would happen. If it didn't happen, then what else didn't happen that he said happened? How do you know, again, where to draw that line in that shadow? If this didn't happen, then maybe Noah's Day didn't happen. And if Noah's Day didn't happen, it's become a thing today where you just choose the part of the Bible you don't care to believe and say, well, that didn't really happen. Yeah. The Pope did that with Genesis 1. Yep. And I say to you on that, if the Bible's not all true, it's just not true. And so I believe this was history. And if this history is true, it ought to give a Christian a boost. For whatever trials you have to go through, the Son of God's going to be with you there. And whatever disappointments you suffer in life, he's going to go through it with you. Whatever tragedy there is, it's not like you have to go through it alone. The three Hebrew children were delivered. They didn't burn. But in the midst of the story, and it's almost stated as a passing thing, but plainly it wasn't just a passing thing. I would point out to you the tragedy that some did burn. You find back in chapter 3 and verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to carry those three Hebrew children unto the furnace, where they were supposed to die, but they didn't die. Instead, somebody else died. It says there in verse 22, the flame of the fire slew those men, the men that carried Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego up to the burning fiery furnace. The title of this message this morning is Some Did Burn, and some did. Fire had no power over the servants of God, but it did have power over the servants of Nebuchadnezzar. And so I'd like you to think about that for just a little while this morning. There was nobody else that died. There was no other harm that was done. But it was really costly for these 3, 4, 5, 10 men. I'm not sure how many. Maybe more than one guy to carry to make sure that the fella goes into the fire. So maybe 2 per man, so 6. But maybe 3 or 4 per man just to make sure. So maybe 10. Who knows? I don't know how many died. And I don't know how many are in hell this morning. I just know there's a lot. Right? I know there's a lot more in hell than there are that are saved. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto righteousness. And few there be that find it. And wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Right? And that's how things go. I know that these men's lives were lost. Presumably their souls were lost as well, and perhaps they still burn at this hour, if that's the case. I'll say that their widows certainly felt the loss. I'll say that the fatherless children they left behind certainly felt the loss. It was a tragedy for them because some did burn. I'm so glad that I don't have to burn. But I'm reminded that some do burn, and many more will burn. I know this is a somber thing to think about, and I know you couldn't believe that I brought it up at the wedding, but hell is just as real as anything else. Now, we believe in heaven, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in forgiveness and all those things. I got news for you. You can't cut out hell either. Hell is as much a historical fact and as much a geographic reality as anything else in this life. Now, I'd like to preach to you for a little while about the fact that some did burn. Plainly, the furnace is clearly a type of hell. Nebuchadnezzar, in this passage at least, is clearly a type of the devil. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego are clearly types of Christians. The men that did burn, that did die, and were slain in the fire, are types of folks that die and go to hell. That's really simple stuff, but these were slain in the fire. And that fire is described as everlasting darkness, everlasting burnings. Men are cast there into the outer darkness where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. We know names of men that are there. I'm certain that most of us have relatives that are there. And I'm not rejoicing in that by any stretch, but it should press forth to the unwary soul, unwary to this point, that there is an end to this life, and out beyond there's eternity. And the Bible paints two pictures, bliss or not, heaven and hell. And hell is just as real as heaven. So I wanted to preach for just a little while here. They talk about these days, of course, everything is politics. And, you know, if somebody, you know, stubs their toe, it's a human tragedy. Let me talk to you about a human tragedy for a minute. How about the avalanche of well over 90 plus percent of humanity sliding off into hell as they die one by one? You know, the southern border gets a lot of play these days. In comparison, that's not a human tragedy at all. When a tsunami comes through, or a hurricane now currently blowing through the Philippines, and maybe horrific body counts will result, casualties, I don't know. But whatever number and whatever tragedy comes out of that, it doesn't compare, even as a shadow, to what goes on, what has gone on for 6,000 years and will proceed right on through for quite a bit of the future. That's a human tragedy. When the vast populace of the world slides off into hell with their sins unredeemed. Let me preach to you for a little while about some did burn. There was just some things I thought about in going through the passage and looking at these guys that should be stated in light of the fact that there's such victory on one side. Three Hebrew children, right with God, brave, courageous, uncompromising, and the Son of God walked them through the fire. And, you know, one day our God is a consuming fire. One day we're going to be in the presence of God. If you're a saint, whatever else is the case, whatever that presence is like, you'll have the nature to abide the fire. Amen. And sometimes I think of hell along those lines. I know that God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible says that's true. And the wrath of God abideth on them continually. That much is true even now. And so maybe even if it's simply that our God's a consuming fire, and David said, when I descend down into hell, thou art there. It's possible that a lost guy just doesn't have the nature to abide the fire. Whereas you will be changed and will have the nature to abide the fire. Now, on top of that, add the eternal wrath of a holy, unreconciled God, and you have a picture of hell. It's a lake of screaming, tormented souls. And I just point out to you that some did burn, and some you know will burn. Some you've known are burning. It's just true. I'd like to say they burned, first of all, in service to a sinister, malevolent king. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar kind of got right here in this passage, and he had a period of time where he did pretty well. I would fall short of saying he was a Christian, because there weren't any properly speaking Christians at this point in history. But in setting up this image, it was a wicked thing. It was an image that we endowed, that most likely was an image of himself. This monstrous image combined with a furnace, and At Nebuchadnezzar's behest, whenever the music played, and I don't know if it played at a regular time, like the Muslims go to hours of prayer at regular times, or whether just on a whim, Nebuchadnezzar could say, play the music, so that everybody had to bow when he said so. Whatever is the case, and however he worked it, this looks like a monstrous ego trip. Here's a king who is so egotistical, so self-centered, so tyrannical, that everybody had to stop their lives to do what he wanted them to do when the signal was given. And then for someone to not be able to get off of what they're doing, they're in the middle of swinging an axe or some such thing and have to complete the task, and they find them doing it and not bowing down yet, he kills them. That is a sinister act. Nebuchadnezzar was full of pride and pomp, his self-esteem, and so these men were pawns. All men were pawns. And a pawn is a pawn. And so these men were called upon to conduct the three Hebrew children to the burning fiery furnace. And these were the mightiest men in his army. And yet they meant nothing to him. Heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. It wasn't rated to be heated that hot, but they heated it that hot anyway, so that when these fine, big, strong, mighty men led these children of Israel up to the mouth of that furnace, the fire slew the men. The fire slew the mighty men. These men were just pawns in his repertoire. He didn't care about losing pawns. Just as Hitler didn't mind losing a few foot soldiers, just as many armies through the years haven't minded losing foot soldiers. I just wanted to say that if Nebuchadnezzar is the devil and a sinister king in his own right, I want to just say the devil doesn't care about you. I know the world puts on this show, and oh, everybody cares about everybody so much. Especially this time of year, we got a political race being run, and now it's a political race 24 hours a day, every year, all year long anyway. But oh, they care so much. Oh, they care so much for the children. Oh, they care for so much for the minorities. Oh, they care so much for you. I got news for you. The sinister element doesn't give a rip about you. Amen. They think a little bit of the money that you put in their pockets. They think a little bit of the votes you give them that'll be able to put them in. But they don't even need your votes anymore. They just make up votes and cheat.
Amen. Come on.
So I'm not trying to get off too far into all that. I'm just trying to say, these guys died in service to a sinister, malevolent king. Now, I know the king, and Job, he's described as the king over all the children of pride. And that's not God. That's the devil, right? I know of someone who in his first iteration was known as Lucifer. He's known more generally as the serpent or the great red dragon. He is known also as the anointed cherub that covereth. But this sinister king is the devil. The Bible goes on further and adds some things. It says that he's cunning. He's crafty, he's wiser than Daniel, and he's beautiful, by the way. Doesn't help to be good looking, doesn't hurt to be good looking, I guess. I wouldn't know. But this guy, I mean, he is the king over all the children of pride, and by the way, he is the small g, God of this world, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's not big G God, that's small g God, okay? He's the king. He is the God of this world. And he is a malignant, malevolent, sinister creature. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he's the father of the lie. He is a murderer. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. There are no good qualities. He thinks nothing of you. He will happily pursue your most precious little innocent children through their lives and damn them if it's possible. He is sinister. He is malevolent as no other being is malevolent. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ pronounced his negatives upon man, he said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do." And so that means that you may not think you're serving the devil, but when you're serving the world, he's the God of that world. And when you're serving you, well, you're of your father the devil if you're lost. Folks, I earnestly believe that somebody that's just living for themselves is perfectly in the devil's will. I think somebody that's consumed with self, I could name some public figures, I'm just going to avoid it this morning. But some of the folks that you hear in the news every day, it's all about them. It's all about their power. And there isn't a better pawn to use in the devil's repertoire than those folks. I'm trying to say that folks are losing their lives and their souls in service to a sinister, malevolent king. And that king is the devil. Once again, you mean nothing to him. He would like to fool you into thinking that he cares. He doesn't care about your health. He doesn't care about your health care. He doesn't care about your color. He doesn't care how you feel about your color. He doesn't care if you're a minority. He's just out to use and exploit you till the very end. Then he'll leave you in the dust to breed worms. You will go to hell. The Bible says a lost man goes to hell, and there he becomes a worm eventually. As his soulish body, the soul, the Bible says, has eyes and ears and a nose and a mouth and hands and feet. And so it looks to me like as eternity progresses, that the soul of a man that goes to hell becomes essentially worm-like. Amen. And so when it talks about the devil in hell, it says, "Thou art covered with worms." And in hell, it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But these guys were great soldiers. They died in service to a sinister, malevolent king. Now, the next time you don't want to go and serve God, would you mind just putting a couple pictures up in your mind? And what I preach about this morning, that's the devil. And your other option is to serve God. And there he is. He's a righteous God. He's a righteous king. He's a long-suffering king. He's a merciful king. He's a tender king. He's put up with you for a long time in your laziness and your lack of zeal and your ignorance and your willing ignorance. Some of us are stupid because we like being stupid. And the fact of the matter is, when you place those two kings up, you're serving one or the other. Now, I present to you today that these mighty men did burn. In spite of the fact that there are heroes here that did not burn, these did. And they burned in service to a sinister, malevolent king. I can add to it that they died and they did burn in furtherance of a false cause. The cause they had was not worth living for or dying for. They died for the king's ego. They died for the king's vanity. They died in idolatry. They died because the king was in a mood that day. That's the only reason they died. You imagine folks losing their lives and souls, destroying their families, just because the king was in a bad mood. Not a very noble cause. They didn't die. These men were mighty men. We'll say more about it in a second. They didn't die as noble warriors. They didn't die for some grand magnanimous principle. They didn't die in honor and virtue particularly. At least we don't know that they did. They died in a fool's game. They died just because the king was in a bad mood today. And I just want to say that while the Hebrew children didn't burn because they couldn't, not with the presence of Jesus Christ there, that some did burn. They burned in service to a sinister, malevolent king. They died in furtherance of a false cause. If you go to hell, you will have died and you will burn forever for a false cause. Boy, do those ever abound these days. Again, I avoid going into a long laundry list, because once the list starts, I'm afraid it'll never end. But just think of all the crazy, stupid things today that people serve. I mean, folks, environmentalism. There are folks that will go to the carpet. They will devote their lives to saving some species of bug or rat or rodent or amphibian and think they're doing the world service. There are a thousand things. I know we can go down a list, as I said. I'm trying to avoid that. But these men's lives were thrown away. They were thrown out like yesterday's coffee grounds. They were thrown away like an old sour milk jug. Like you'd throw away in the trash. Their lives meant nothing because they served nothing. They served nothing of any value. You and I have the opportunity to serve the God of heaven. Amen. We've been given a high calling. We have a high cause. We've been appointed stewards of the mysteries of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. These guys died in furtherance of a false cause. At best, they obeyed their king. And they were patriots, I suppose. But the king was just being stupid. The king was just being vain. The king was just being an egotist. And I'll just tell you, the devil's no better. The devil has no legitimate cause. His cause is malevolence against anything God or godly. That's all it is. All the devil lives for, I'm not trying to call him down on me. I prayed this morning and said, Lord, know what I'm preaching. And I'm not trying to call the devil down on myself. I'm not trying to badmouth him, because I don't want to deal with him. But all he's out to do at any moment is just to mess things up for God. He's out to mess you up so that you mess up for God. It's all about just destroying anything of God's plan or anything godly. That's his entire game. And folks, go to hell and burn every day. Every obituary section that can be filled out in every newspaper and every website, it's filled with people in the main that have died for no cause whatsoever. I recognize advancements in medicine and true science, a service to humanity in a noble way. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, it counts for nothing.
That's right.
It really counts for nothing. If you die and go to hell, man, you may have been a great husband or wife, a great father or mother, even a better grandfather or grandmother, because you learned some things. But you may have done some noble thing for people, noble thing for your community. But if you die lost, in the end, all you've served is the devil. Because you don't have to do wicked to serve the devil.
That's right.
He just wants you in darkness. He just wants you going on about your business. And, you know, you may think that you have the grandest cause in the world, but let me just name a couple things for you if you wouldn't mind. Family. Now, family is good. God established the first family before there was anything else that man ever did. There was Adam and Eve, right? First of all, there was family. But you know, there are people who won't trust the Savior that loved them and died for them because they're afraid of what it would do to their family. They're afraid what their family would say. They're afraid how Thanksgiving might go if they become a Christian instead of a Catholic. Right? We have all heard, you know, stories of the Muslims that are outed, and are, when they become Christians, they are completely cut off. Jews that when they become born-again Christians, they are completely cut off by their families. And people fear that. And that fear is not legitimate. Keep your family together, if you possibly can. But you don't need to go to hell for anybody. If it's a matter of husband, wife, brother, sister, or mother, or father, your calling as a Christian is to serve God regardless of what those people say. Amen? Jesus Christ said, I've come to put at variance mother against daughter and so on down the line. You know why? Because you're serving me. You're no longer serving the devil. I'd like to just say, can add to that, you know, friendship. Sometimes folks stay lost because they are deathly afraid of what their friends will say. The best thing that you can do for your friends is to get saved and witness to them. If they choose in their own right to go to hell, well, they'll have to reap the consequences of their decisions. But if they take you with them, that's your fault. I just want to say, these guys burn in furtherance of a false cause. Some folks try to keep the peace in their families, among their friends, to such an extent that they damn themselves. They allow themselves to remain damned in doing it. I'd like to say and add to that, politics. These days, if there's one thing that's obvious, it's that everything, so much, I should say, is wrong in politics. And so much, it seems that everybody floats the idea all the time. Every day you hear it on the radio. Every day you see it in a newspaper. Everybody's encouraged to get involved in politics. Now look, folks, I'm all for voting. But I ain't running. I have a much more noble cause. I'm attending to something else more important. And the brutal fact of the matter is if you get drawn to that, and there, folks, there's Christians that try to draw you into that. There's preachers that try to draw you into running for city council and running for state house and all that kind of stuff. I think you're setting yourself up to be a compromiser. And at worst, a prostitute. Because you'll prostitute your cause to cut a deal. I mean, I don't know why you'd play that game in politics when you have a holy cause to live for. I'm going to vote. But I'm giving my money here. Not there. Okay? If I'm going to meeting, I'm going to meet in here. I'm not caucusing. I don't have time to caucus. Why should I leave what I'm doing? I'm doing a great work for God. Why should I leave what I'm doing to come down to you, to your caucus? There was something that flashed through my mind there, but I just won't leave it. I'll just leave it. Oh, I know I'm cutting close to the bone here. And because I like war stories, I like soldiers, and I love my country. But for a long time, folks have mistaken, in some circles, patriotism for Christianity. And I think that you may have gotten a little bit of a eye blink the other night with Brother Rue here, because he was advising us that, you know, when you start talking about the Eastern countries, when you start talking about Russia and China, and we all know they're our enemies and all that kind of stuff, but when you start talking about Russia and China and Iran and India and some places like that, you know, you're talking about people who now resent America, the good old U.S. of A., red, white, and blue, guns, baseball, apple pie, and all that kind of stuff, because of what we're trying to ship to them culturally. Now, I got news for you. I appreciate Sergeant York, Stonewall Jackson. It's my man, okay? I mean, you start talking about MacArthur and Patton and those guys, that, you know, there's negative character issues at times, but, man, I like those guys. But for a long time, you're a fool to think that your country hasn't shipped a bunch of baloney into other countries. If you think the corruption is all in Russia, have you looked at the ninny that presently owns the office right now in Washington? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to say. I'm a patriot. I love my country and all those things, but I'm going to have my citizenship in another country now. I'm not talking about Switzerland either. I'm talking about heaven. And I don't trust that bunch in Washington or St. Paul to blow their noses correctly. And so I just want to say, I'm not trying to stir up anything. I'm just saying it's easy for you to get drawn into a false cause. You have all the cause you need in your everyday life, reading your Bible and praying, supporting missionaries and trying to reach somebody for Jesus Christ, politics notwithstanding, family notwithstanding, friendship notwithstanding. I mean it. If you're not careful, you will waste your life. You will serve a sinister king in a false cause. In a false cause. False causes abound. I'd like to say that down in back in chapter 3, verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, however many soldiers there were that did that. I'd like to say those men perished in a fire not kindled for them. You know, it was all a tragic oversight. Nebuchadnezzar lost his temper. The furnace was heated 7 times hotter than it was rated to be heated. And so things go wrong when you do that. You know, when you take a hammer trying to fix something porcelain, it's not going to work out. But history is filled with those things. And I want to say these men died in a fire not kindled for them. Take your Bibles real quick. Matthew 25. You probably know the verse. Matthew 25, 41. I know it's a different context. I know it's a different judgment. We could break that down later, but it still is true in this context. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Talking about Jesus Christ judging the nations. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, that's hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, when somebody goes to hell, they go and burn in fire and are tormented in a place that wasn't even made for them. What a horrific thing. What a horrific thing to live a lifetime call it 75 years, 80 years, to live a lifetime, become a father, a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather, all the things that you can be in life, each season of life passes. And if you're not saved, you've never spent one moment of a lifetime in the will of God. And then you die. It's not just that you go to hell. It's also that you go to a place that was not made for you to go to. It was intended for somebody else, the devil and his angels. It's bad enough in this life that we have to pay for, you know, other people's wickedness. Your taxes are the way they are because of wickedness in Washington. You pay the insurance that you pay, and you overpay because of insurance fraud. You have to pay a doctor now, you have to pay a doctor because of his medical insurance. Malpractice. If you go to the hospital, you're overpaying there because, again, of wickedness. It's bad enough here. But boy, to die and go to hell and go to a place that you don't belong and you were never intended to go, it wasn't made for you, and it wasn't even fitted for you. Now, compare that to, I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
Now, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again the third day. And you know what he's doing right now? He's preparing a place for you. And he's preparing a place for you. And you say, well, I want this in my place and that in my place. You don't even know what you want. When you get there, it's going to be more than you could have conceived. So don't be saying, well, I want marble. I want marble countertops in my mansion. You ninny, you don't even know what you want. You say, what's the point? He's gone to prepare a place for us. These folks die, these folks burn in a fire not kindled for them. They die in service, they burn in service to a malevolent, sinister king. They burn in furtherance of a false cause. They burn in a fire not kindled for them. I'd like to say, and you can see it in the passage, I'd like to say that they burned in simplicity and without forewarning. I don't say they were innocent. I'm sure these men were sinners like all sinners. And they were soldiers. So that probably, you know, gives a hint at some things. And yet, the Bible talks all the time in the Word of God about people being simple. Not perfect, but they're not innocent, but they're simple. When it came to the hour that Amnon was to be killed at the behest under Absalom's orders, he got a bunch of guys to go and kill Amnon, and they went in their simplicity. They didn't know that all that was behind the plan. Their guy just gave them the order. And so they went and killed Amnon. They went in their simplicity. These soldiers, they died in their simplicity. They died without forewarning. Now, we live in gospel-rich America. And there really isn't much of an excuse for somebody middle-aged or older to not know something about heaven and hell. And you know, if there is even a possibility of there being a place called hell, most folks should go find out if it's true. And if it's true, let's find out, pray to God and find out how I stay out. So whatever's the case, I still know that folks, while not innocent, not sinless, but still, because they have through their lifetimes been lied to by false prophets, misled by clergy, misled by mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles, grandmothers and grandfathers, pastors and teachers. They go through a battle with cancer, or more fortunately, they just go to sleep one night and don't wake up. And they're sinners, but they die in their simplicity because nobody told them. Right? Simplicity and relative ignorance. Now, whatever else can be said here, all are warned this day within the sound of my voice. It's all I can do. If they're not going to come listen, and if I go to them and they won't listen out there, then I've done all I can do. But look, don't keep driving. The bridge is out. Don't go back to sleep. The house is on fire. Don't just bottle along through life, because there's a hell and you're going there unless you're born again. It's really that simple. These guys died in their simplicity and without forewarning. They were soldiers and all those things, but you know, maybe they had never heard. Maybe it never crossed their minds to disobey an order. But well, it would have been that they did. I'd like to say further, if you will, go back to verse 20, Daniel 3:20. They died in service to a sinister king. They died in furtherance of a false cause. They died in a fire not kindled for them. They died in simplicity and without forewarning. After day is over, you can't die in simplicity if you're unsaved. You can't die without forewarning if you're unsaved. Because you've been warned. Then there's Daniel 3 and verse 20. Oh, wrong page. 22. There before, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You go back to verse 20. These men were described as the most mighty men that were in his army. They died in spite of their superiority. They burned in spite of their superiority. These were not just mighty men. They were the most mighty men in his army. And these were elite soldiers. I don't know if they were a SEAL team or a Delta Force or what, but these guys you wouldn't want to meet in a back alley. These were the most mighty men in his army. If there was anybody that had superior traits, if there was anybody that should have been able to survive the fire, it should have been them, not these little scrawny, under our thumb in Babylon Jews. But those Jews had the grace of God. Those Jews, God exhibited his power towards them. These mighty men, their superior traits couldn't match the grace of God and the power of God that was present in the presence of the Son of God in that fire. Say, well, what are you saying? I say, well, no matter what your elite traits are, maybe you're smarter than anybody you know. Maybe your experience in life and things exceeds any six of us. None of that is equal to the grace of God. None of that exceeds the power of God. I got news for you. It doesn't reverse fallen nature. It doesn't unravel the mess that sin has made in your life. It doesn't make you alive spiritually. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what a genius you are. I don't care what kind of expert you are. If you're an astrophysicist, I admire you. But that's not going to help you in the day when you die. I simply want to say that in spite of their superiority, it was their physical superiority, their experience as military men, but elitism, intellectualism, academia, your engineering skills, experience in life, none of those things can deliver you from a lake of fire. They burn in spite of their superiority. Now, I'd like to just say that I can also add two other things. They burned in testimony to the fact that God's power is real. In other words, they were superiorly physically trained people, and they should have been able to, you know, if anybody could survive the blast from that furnace mouth, it should have been them, but they couldn't. Instead, after they died, somehow those men, the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went in the fire, and in the fire, God protected them. The Son of God was there, and they came out without so much as the smell of smoke on their clothes. You say, well, what are you saying? I am saying that God's power is real. I mean, the scrawny little half-starved, you know, in bondage Jews survived the flame. The big, studly, massive, well-trained military men died like flies outside the door. They died in testament to the fact that God's power is real. They stand as monuments. You know, you can't say they died for nothing, because they didn't. Because at least while they're, as far as we know, in hell, they at least serve as monuments to us that there is a hell and that there is a way to survive the flame with the Son of God. So you have a choice. You can die a possessor of eternal bliss, or you can die an eternal object lesson. These guys are eternal object lessons. Well-trained, well-toned, I mean, you know, warriors of the first rate, you know, SEAL Team 6 all the way back all those years ago. If anybody can survive it, a SEAL team should be able to survive it. But they didn't survive it. And so they go down as, you know, an eternal object lesson. Okay? You can either go to hell and be an object lesson for the rest of us, or you can go enjoy eternal bliss in the presence of Jesus Christ. These burn as a testament to the fact that God's power is real, that the Word of God is true, that hell is hot, that God's promises are right. When He says there's a hell, there's a hell. When He says there's a heaven, there's a heaven. They died to prove that. And all of us here, anybody on the face of this earth could die as either an eternal object lesson, but they'd still have to burn. Or you can die in good grace with Jesus Christ and be delivered from death. It's that simple. One last thing. I'd like to say these died in contrast to those who couldn't be burned. These burned. These men burned in contrast to those who couldn't be burned. I'm so grateful. You know, I'm earnest. When you and me and you, Chris, when we pass from this life, we ain't going to burn. Because we can't be burned. Our God's a consuming fire. He's angry with the wicked every day, but me and you in His sight are not wicked. Because we know Jesus Christ. And we can't burn. We can abide with God, right beside God, who is a consuming fire. But we can't burn. These guys burned in contrast to those who could not be burned. Now, I just want to say, both these parties trusted their God. Right? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego trusted their God. And these men trusted their king and his God. Oh, both parties of men yielded their bodies. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were willing to die And these guys yielded their bodies to the power of the king. And if he said, go die in battle, they would go die in battle. And if he said, go throw these guys in the furnace, then they'd die that way. But both parties believed in their God. Both parties yielded their bodies. Both of those groups of men served and worshiped only their own God. And both of those parties gave their lives. And the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, live on to this day. And those soldiers, they burned in the fire. They were slain. Say, what's the point? Well, point is all in the God you choose, whose word you believe. Nebuchadnezzar never did anything for anybody. But I'm given a book that tells me of all of the things of Jesus Christ. And the fact, if all things were written in the books, in books that he did, the Bible says the world couldn't contain them all. Okay? And I'm in good relations with him. I hope you are. Because some do burn. Some will burn. Some have burned for thousands of years. Stop and consider Cain. Stop and consider some of those guys. They have burned for the better part of 5,000 years. Pilate, still in hell, washing his hands. He's burned for 2,000 years. Herod, he's burned for 2,000 years. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. You don't want to go there. Thank God most of you aren't. I'm confident of that. Praise the Lord. But if there is anybody whose destiny is still in that direction, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please, please, don't risk this. Because remember that while some are delivered in their very presence, some did burn. If you, in this room yesterday, there were 300 plus people in this room yesterday. A bunch of us were saved. Praise the Lord. Some of the people that you sat in the room with yesterday are going to burn. Right? They got the gospel. Not everybody received it. There are going to be people that you sat in this room for an hour with and enjoyed Thu and Annalise's wedding. And one day, there's a percentage of those people that are going to burn forever. See, these guys were delivered, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, in the most miraculous fashion. But some did burn. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we are so grateful for deliverance from hell. I'm very grateful.